Praise the Lord.
Do not consider this as a conference. No. Consider this as the Lord speaking to really show us what He desires today. A conference means nothing. You're not here to learn something. We're here to know what is in God's heart and how we can be those who are well-pleasing to Him and how the church life can improve and go on. I always want to see improvement. Even in my own personal experience, I don't want to remain the same. I hope that my children, my wife, my grandchildren can testify to that. I want to be a real worshiper. I told the Father, Father, if nobody wants it, I want it. I raise my hand. I volunteer. I don't care what other people want, but I care what you want. I care what you desire. And if you and I are the only two left that will be the real worshiper, well, better to have two than none. Right? Praise the Lord. But I'm sure many more would really have a desire to be the true worshiper. If there is such a verse in the Bible, then I hope, Iman, that we all will tell the Father, Father, here we are.
Amen.
Teach us. Let the Holy Spirit teach us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, right, tells us that the anointing teaches us all things. Don't think He's going to give you a Bible teaching. No. He's going to teach you what is in God's heart. And He's going to lead you into all truth, all reality. Let us read John again. Well, John chapter 14 first. Okay, let's go to John because we are in the worship. Let's go to John 4 again, so that this verse will be in the heart of all the saints, engraved there, that you will never forget again. And this is what the Lord Jesus said. Let's read from 22 to 24 again. He's saying to the Samaritan woman. 21, right? Jesus said to her, "Woman,
believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth."
Must worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit. We are today in a spiritual realm, not in a physical, material realm. Even the church is a spiritual house. This is what Peter said. We are the living stones being built up into a spiritual house. And it says in verse 24, God is spirit. Note the capitalized S. Because He is God. He is spirit. That is His essence, His substance, His nature. You, outwardly, this is not spirit. Right? Is this spirit?
No.
Of course, this is material. But this is not spirit. And my soul is also not a spirit. But deep within my heart is the hidden part called the human spirit. When God created man, He breathed His breath of life, which is the spirit, into man. So that breath created a human spirit deep within your being, hidden. The innermost being Why? Because God is a spirit. God is spirit. So if you're not in spirit, you cannot contact God. You can think about God, but thinking is thinking. It is thinking. The more you think, the more you think. But you want to touch the living God, you should use the spirit. Definitely. God is spirit. So you want to worship God, you must worship in spirit. This is the requirement. This is the condition. Right? Just like if you want to touch electricity, you cannot use rubber. You'll be insulated. This is a very big insulation here. Believe me. That's what Paul said. If I live in this tabernacle, I'm meaning to say this human body, I'm just like absent from God. It seems God is so far away because this is an insulation. You know, why is it that in all the electrical wire you have a rubber outside? Well, you ask, where's Stefan? Because his company manufactures that. His company manufactures insulation. In the church life, we don't need that insulation from God. So if you live in the flesh, you're far away from God. Far away from God. Anyone who lives according to the flesh, you may be very religious, just like the Jews, they're very religious, because they are not in the right realm. Look at all the other worship, they all bow down, they all feel so sentimental, but God doesn't want a sentimental worship. Because you're in the wrong realm. You can be very sentimental. Even weeping. Even weep also if you see a movie that's touching you, right? You can be sentimental about a movie, especially the Chinese soap. The Chinese like to see the Chinese soap. After seeing the Chinese soap, everybody is weeping. So what's the difference? You're in the same realm. But God wants you to worship Him, not in that realm, not in your sentimental soul. But God wants you to be a person living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, so that you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. That's why when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing that happens to you is you're born in the Spirit. That's why in chapter 3, let's go to chapter 3, because without chapter 3, you won't know what God is talking about in chapter 4. In chapter 3, it says here, you see, this Nicodemus, this is an older rabbi of the Jew. He was a teacher of the Jew, and he didn't know, really didn't know God. Can you imagine a rabbi not knowing God? How can he be a rabbi? How on earth did he ever become a rabbi? How is he going to teach people? The rabbi came to the Lord. We know that you're a teacher from God. No one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. So he knew that Jesus is a teacher from God, not by hearing the teaching, but seeing what is happening. But the Lord didn't talk to him about that. The Lord says, most assuredly, verse 3, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot even see. How are you going to see? You can see? No, you cannot. You're in the wrong realm. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He didn't know what the Lord is talking about. Well, I'm already almost 80 years old. You want me to be born again? How is that possible? Right? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again? He was thinking about a physical realm. He is in another realm. But the Lord is talking about something else. What did the Lord say? Surely, surely I said unto you, that's for sure, I'm not lying to you, unless one is born of water. What water? The water of baptism. That means you put away the old, bury it in the water. In the Spirit, something positive. The Spirit of God, remember, that is the capital letter S. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now he's talking about entering. Not just seeing, but entering. That which is born of the flesh, that is flesh, that cannot enter into the kingdom. Impossible. So, your first birth, you get this flesh from your parents, that is not qualified for the kingdom. That's only good for human kingdom. Ukraine kingdom. Thai kingdom, the kingdom of Thailand. That's what it says. You were born into the kingdom of Thailand. That's all. Not the kingdom of heaven. You were born into the kingdom of Togo. And then some of you were born into the United Kingdom. And all of us religiously are in the divided kingdom. Human kingdom. But enter into the kingdom of God, that's something else. You must be born again. How? That which is born of the Spirit of God, capital S, is spirit. Now that's what is important, your human spirit. Because when man sinned, human spirit died, became out of function. That's why they didn't know God. And they believe in God, or you just believe, or you know, Satan believes in God. So it's not just believing. It is something becomes alive. Deep within you, now becomes alive. And that part is similar in nature to God, because God is spirit. And you want to worship Him, don't worship Him like going to see a soap. You go to Him in spirit now. Now, after seeing this, you go to chapter 4 now. Now, the Lord can say, the true worshiper now must worship in the flesh. No, no, no. You cannot worship in the flesh. The flesh is no good. So, you cannot just come to the meeting in the flesh. If you come to the meeting in the flesh, you might as well go to a movie and see the Passion of Christ or something like that. And you'll be weeping there, and you, when you are falling, tears are falling down, you think you are very devout. No, no, this is a fleshly tear. Useless. But you come to worship the living God who is Spirit. God is Spirit. So, how are you going to worship? By your flesh? By your soul? Then by what? By the Spirit? By the Spirit. Where is it? You must be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot even see us. You don't know what we're talking about. You don't know what we're doing here. You think singing a couple of songs, saying thank you Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, that's worship? The angels can say that all the time. Day and night, holy, 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 holy. But from you and from us, God desires a group of people who are worshiping in spirit. This is the first condition. You have to know your spirit. You have to be a person living by the Spirit, and the church is something spiritual. So if you're not a person in spirit, what is the church? For you, the church is just Gandhi. And that place there somewhere that looks like, something like this, and on the top there is a little sign there like that, and a ding-dong, that's the church. So I go to church. Where do you go to church? I go there. And where do I go? I go there. And where does he go? He goes there. And where do I do it? I stay home. That's not the church. Really not a church. The church is something spiritual. You have to be a person living by the Spirit. And I am a person living by the Spirit. When you are a person living, we become the living stone, then we can all become one. Because in the flesh we are so different. That's why in this people, then the Chinese church, then the Korean church,
This is a Vietnamese church. The first Baptist, second Baptist, you come late, so you build a third Baptist.
Each one is different, so each one builds their own different churches. I like it this way, he likes it that way. My goodness, is that the church? You ask God. God will say, I don't know what these are. You tell God, oh, synagogues. Revelation says that the synagogues of Satan. Because it's not what God was building. Who is interested in building so different kinds, absolutely different than what God wants? So the Spirit, God is Spirit. There's no other way. It's not a method. It's not a choir. You think God doesn't have a better choir? I think he has a better choir. And a larger choir. God says, I don't need a choir here. I need offerings. I need Christ that has grown through you, prepared by you, experienced by you. And how can you experience Christ if you're not a person living by the Spirit? Don't think that I can give a good message, I must have much Christ. No, I just have the knowledge of the Bible. It doesn't mean that I have Christ. Otherwise those Pharisees and chief priests and scribes and all that, you think they're very spiritual? They just have the law and taught people the law. What's the law? The letter. You can read it yourself. You don't need me to teach you here. Why do you need this? Can you read?
Yes.
Then read it yourself. I'm just telling you what's written here, so you read it yourself. If you're reading the Bible and the Lord shows you a lot of things, why do you have to listen to me? Right? You can read. I can read, you can read, we all can read. If we read prayerfully in spirit, you don't need a pastor. What you need now is the Holy Spirit. No. Let's go to John 14. In John 14, the Lord says, I am leaving. The Lord says, I'm leaving. Then he said in verse 16, let's jump to verse 16. Now, I will pray to the Father that he will give you many pastors, that every Sunday he will give you a message. A Baptist pastors, whom the world will definitely see and receive. How about that? Did the Lord say that he's going to give you another pastor? He says, I will give you another helper, another comforter, teacher. Who is that?
The Spirit of
Truth. The Spirit of Truth. And he will abide with you forever. Is your pastor with you every day, 24 hours? Huh? You have a pastor with you 24 hours?
No.
Half an hour a week. And you even have to pay him. Oh my goodness. You're making him rich. What about the Holy Spirit? How much do you have to pay for the Holy Spirit?
What time?
Actually, he's the Lord himself coming into another form into you. The Spirit of what? Truth. Spirit of reality. Because the Spirit is the real substance of the Lord Jesus Christ. whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. If you're in the flesh, you cannot see the Holy Spirit. You cannot even know the Holy Spirit. Where is he? You tell me. If I ask you right now, sorry, we are very close. I love this brother. Right? We are real Jews, right? If I ask you, is there an air here? Is there air? Air? Really?
But I can't see it.
You cannot see it, but how do you know it's there? You can breathe it. No! Suppose he did. And I ask you, is there air? 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 No. Why can't I see? I don't know if it's air. But because he cannot breathe. If I'm dead, I cannot breathe. I will. You tell me, well, but it's there. Well, if I'm a dead person, where is air? 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 You mean hair? Oh, no, I mean air. No, hair. No, air. But if you're dead, you will never know there's air. A spirit, a person who is not born again, you tell them about the spirit. Spirit, what are you talking about? You mean, say, demon? Evil spirits? What spirit are you talking about?
It's the Holy Spirit. The world cannot see.
It's only your spirit. What are you talking about, spirit?
This is really what now the Lord is talking about. I will send you the Holy Spirit. Like in 14 here. Yeah. The Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Why? Because he dwells in you. Now this is the way to know him. How do you know the Holy Spirit?
Oh, I believe because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. The Bible tells you many things. You just believe. But where is he?
I don't know. That means you don't know the Holy Spirit. You can only know the Holy Spirit because he dwells in you. If he doesn't dwell in you, you will never, ever know him. You'll not know. Because he dwells in you. This is really wonderful. That's why it's not a method. How do I know the Spirit? I don't know. I cannot give you a method.
John, give me a method.
God's method is he comes into you, and that's the way. How do you know the Holy Spirit? Well, he dwells in you. Where? Where? Oh, well, are you not born again?
Yeah, I know. I heard from the pastor I'm born again, but he doesn't tell me what it is. So I'm just like Nicodemus. How can I get into my mother's womb and be born again? Oh, just believe and you're born again.
Not so simple. No. You must be born of water, spirit of the old spirit. And of the spirit, the spirit of God enters into you. Then you become one spirit with him, and his spirit now dwells in you, and that is the only way you can know the Holy Spirit. Sorry. Then you're alive. You're alive. How do you know the air? How do you know about the air? Oh, from physics? From the professor, from the university, from professor... Who is the professor here? Emery? I don't know. No. You know the Holy Spirit because he dwells in you. That's why the Lord says here, the world cannot know him because it cannot see him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and with you and will be in you and abiding. Then the Lord says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So the Holy Spirit is the Lord coming back as the Spirit that gives life to you. You have to read the Bible in such a way. Don't learn doctrine. Now, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you feel nothing? Did you have breakfast this morning?
Yes.
After breakfast, do you feel nothing? Oh, you feel quite full and satisfied and happy and alive and powerful. Wow, otherwise you won't be sitting here.
And the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, He doesn't speak to you. You have no feelings. He's not leading you, guiding you. You feel nothing. How can that be? Oh, just believe, just believe. No, He dwells in you now. Not just believe, just believe. People are telling them to make believe. That's not the biblical believing. Believing is receiving. After you receive it, you feel it. If I just tell you, you believe this, receive something, record it. You believe it's recorded. Yeah, we believe it. Do you feel it? No, you feel nothing. But if you swallow this, if you swallow this thing, my goodness, you're going to feel it 24 hours. Well, you just believe. Oh, I believe. Nothing happens to you, you believe. So what if you believe? If I don't believe, nothing happens. If I believe, nothing happens. But if you grind it into powder and drink it, you feel it. The Spirit is very real. Don't think, oh, the Holy Spirit, oh, I don't know, it's so hard, I can't see it. And no. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, because the Lord is going to be crucified and die. The world will think He's dead. But you will see me because I live. Praise the Lord. Is the Lord for you dead or is He alive? He rose the third day. Because I live, you will live also. Now this is a spiritual life now. This is now a spiritual life. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Wow, this is really wonderful. Right. Then it says, let's jump now to verse 26. But the Helper, or the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will what? Do nothing in you.
Teach you.
Teach you doctrine. He will what?
Teach you all things.
What things? So, if you need some teaching, where do you go? To me? Better not go to me. I don't know all things. I know just a few things. And very little. And it's just doctrine. You want the reality? You want the real worship? Who's going to teach you how to worship? You better go to the Holy Spirit, because He will teach you all things. You say, I don't feel Him. No. Impossible. How can... The Spirit is so real. It says even He will teach you a few things. All things. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Wow. How practical. If you forget, where do you go?
The Holy Spirit.
To Pastor 1. And Pastor 1 says, oh, I also forgot. You go to Pastor 2. And the Pastor 3, you pass on from one pastor to another pastor. And you keep on passing to one pastor. Why don't you go to the Holy Spirit indwelling in you? Holy Spirit, teach me. Teach me to be a real worshiper. Who's going to teach you how to worship?
No wonder we were all taught the wrong way. And you're listening every Sunday. The one who taught you didn't know what he's talking about. And you go there every Sunday. You know, when I was young, I was born in the Philippines. Philippines is a Catholic country. Oh, boy, the cathedral built in Quiapo, you know, you lived close by a long time ago. And there's a big plaza. And Sunday, it's so full inside, so the people just standing in the plaza, worshipping, hearing nothing, because the priest inside is inside, but I'm outside, and I'm in the back of the plaza. You don't know what's going on there. I'm standing there worshipping. And those who are standing inside, at that time, the priest says the mass in Latin, a dead language, and nobody understands Latin. But they're worshipping there, everybody standing there for half an hour, they don't know what they're doing, they're looking, worshipping, and then it's over! People are coming out from inside, over, and worship is over. Oh my goodness! That's worship! Are you going to worship like that? Are you that worshipper? No, we are better, because we worship in English. we worship in English. Oh, we listen to a good message. After a good message, you walk home. What did you receive? More Christ? Are you holier? Stronger? More spiritual? And then why do you do that week after week? Why will we do that? Stop doing that. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all the things the Lord has said to you. You think Holy Spirit is nothing? Can do nothing? Where is he? Where is he? Holy Spirit? What is he? Where is he? Oh, it's so hard for me to touch the Spirit. Why? Because you have never learned. Since you were saved, nobody taught you. That's why you still live yourself. And as a Christian, the longer you wait, the harder it is. Because now you're so used to just living your own self. So goes the saying, it's hard to bend an old tree. You, traditional way. You become a professional listener, and I become a professional speaker, speaking nonsense to you. Lord Jesus. So, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, is going to teach us all things. Then let's go to maybe chapter 16, let us go on to chapter 16. Verse 8. Verse 7 and 8. Don't be sorrowful. Verse 6, yeah. Because the Lord says, I'm going to go away. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, the Lord says in verse 7. It is good, it is to your advantage that I go away. Because we always want to have a physical teacher, right? Don't you like to see Jesus standing in front of you? You know, when I was younger, I always thought, wow, I missed that. Boy, if I were only born at the time of the Lord Jesus, wow, I see Jesus right there. I can touch him. Wow, I can do it. Wow. I can enjoy this Jesus. I can see him, smell him, touch him, hear him. Wow, isn't that good? But the Lord says, no. It's to your advantage. I go. I said, no, Lord, no. I need some visible person. I need somebody. I need invisible Jesus. Why you were going to give me an invisible Jesus? Well, what would you prefer, a visible Jesus or an invisible Jesus? Ah, you see, it's hard to decide. Even now it's hard to decide. Lokan, what do you prefer?
Physical.
Physical, of course. Because, you know why? Because we are still so used to living here. You're so used to living in this tangible world. You're not a spiritual person. You are a person in the flesh. That's why you need... What? Jesus going away? No, you don't go away. The Lord says, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now, can you say that? What is more advantageous? A physical Jesus in front of you or a spiritual Jesus inside of you? What would you prefer? Jesus outside or Jesus inside? Are you sure? Well, you can't see him. You can touch him. You can smell him. And you can hear many people. I can't hear him. I pray. I ask him. But I hear nothing. Well, because the Lord Jesus is not going to talk to you like I talk to you now. The Spirit talks to you in a different way now. He's in you. Don't say, Lord. Lord, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I press the button and you speak to me. You like that. Record it. But now, the living Spirit in you.
I don't hear him. I don't smell him. I don't feel him.
Because you are not in spirit. Have not trained yourself to live by the Spirit every day. You are not in person, in the Spirit, contacting the Lord. You don't turn it on. You cannot hear anything either if you don't turn it on. And your spirit, his Spirit dwelling in you. Is in you. Right. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, which is more advantageous? What do you prefer now?
Inside.
Because when he is inside of you, you can go everywhere. He is with you all the time. Even when you're sleeping, he is there inside of you. You're awake, he is there. Isn't that better? And he talks to you. He will teach you all things. He will abide in you forever. Why don't you talk to him? Why don't you learn now and tell him, teach me, Lord, teach me. I know nothing but teach me. I want to learn of you. I want now a different teaching, an inward teaching. Now, I want you to lead me in an inward way. And when he comes, verse 8 says, he will convict the world of sin. Now, when you do something wrong, and you feel nothing? I don't think so. As a believer with the Holy Spirit living in me, if I say something wrong to my wife, I can feel it. No. No, right. Although I don't want to listen, I'm right. But the Holy Spirit said, you are not right. somebody within me always gives me trouble. It's okay. I said, it's okay. The Spirit says, he will convict you. Until you say, oh Lord, sorry, I repent. Then he will say, that's good. Now it's all over. But if you will not repent and you keep on putting him away, you become callous. Then pretty soon you don't hear him anymore. Because you become past feelings, like Ephesians chapter 4 says. It's not that he's not there anymore, but you develop an immunity. insulation right there. You're insulated from him. Your conscience doesn't work anymore. No more feeling. And of righteousness and of judgment. Right. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. And you see me no more. You know, the very fact that the Lord was received up to the throne, meaning to say that a father fully accepted the Lord Jesus, justified because he fulfilled all the righteous requirements for you. The fact that the Lord went to the Father now and the Father fully received him shows that the Lord, the Father, approves 100% what Christ has done for you and me. That's why by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are justified by God. How do you know you're justified? Because now the Lord is up there at the right hand of the Father sitting on the throne. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Satan is judged. So when the Lord died on the cross, he not just died for your sin, that cross judged Satan. He's judged. So when Satan comes to you, don't be afraid of him. Tell him, you're judged. You're already judged, sentenced. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says, through death you destroyed him who has the power of death, which is Satan. Are you afraid of Satan? No, he's afraid of you. If you're born again and live by the Spirit. Now, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Right? And the Lord, don't think the Lord has nothing to say. You have so many things to say. Oh, the preacher has so many things to say. You think the Lord has nothing more to say? No. I still have many things to say to you, and I believe the Lord still has many more things to say to us that we don't know. You know, why you go to listen to a message year after year, the same messages, really the same messages, right? Isn't it true? Have you ever heard anything new? Every Sunday? From the pastor? Why you like to go and listen to the same thing every week? How many times of the same message have you heard in the last 40 years? Why do you have to listen to the same message over and over again? My goodness, it's just like going to first grade for 10 years and you're hearing the same teacher saying the same thing. Oh, would you like to go to school for 10 years hearing the same thing? Would you like to do that? You think the Lord has no more things to say to you? I have many things to say to the Lord. Says here, but you cannot bear them now. You see, many things that the Lord is saying, if you're not in spirit, you cannot bear them. Even if you hear them, it's useless. Because you don't know what he's talking about. However, now listen, in verse 13, when he comes, who? The Spirit of truth. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not only teach you and speak to you, but he will lead you into the reality of what he's talking about. What do you want? The doctrine or do you want the reality? For you, truth is just what is really written in the Bible. Huh? Don't say anything else, but you say it like that, okay, he's biblical, good enough, go home. That's truth for you. But truth in the Bible is the word in Greek, aletheia, means the substance, the reality. In Southeast Asia, there's a fruit called durian. Durian. Have you ever eaten durian? All that fruit is about this size with a lot of sharp thing. Durian, right? You know durian? Oh, you don't know durian. But
Wow, let me explain to you. The first time you eat durian, you will run away from it because it smells terrible. You think it smells terrible. But once you tasted it, once, twice, the more you taste it, the more fragrant it becomes. And finally, oh, you will love it. That fruit is called durian. You believe it?
No.
But he will testify to you. He's from Thailand. Thailand has one of the best durian, right? Is it good? Oh, I have a witness here. I have a witness. And I'm a witness myself. Oh, you're a witness, right? You love durian? Is it fragrant? Is it stinky? Fragrant, right? You believe it now?
No.
Whether you believe it or not, it exists. But even if you believe it, so what? You should tell me. Okay, John, show me. Whether you believe it or not, you show me. Well, show me. You just have to believe. I don't have it. Just believe. Okay, just believe. Can you smell it now? Can you smell it? You believe, but you cannot smell anything. Taste it? No. Can you taste it now after my description? Yummy, yummy. Yummy, yummy. Taste it. Did you taste it? Can you taste it now? Huh? No. Why not? Oh, just believe. Just believe. Just believe, la. That believing does not satisfy you. In the Bible, it's not the superstitious belief, but the belief is living. Through faith, that real thing by the Spirit will come to you. So that you can have the substance. The reality. God is not going to give you an empty doctrine. But you're happy with listening to the truth. What I'm telling you is very biblical. So what if you're biblical? You think God just wants to give you a book? Is a book good enough for you? It's called a good book. God has only one book to give you. A book. B-O-O-K. Have you ever told God this book is good, but I want a real thing? Thank you for the good book. Don't think I don't like the good book. I love the good book. It's a cookbook. Not just a good book, it's a cookbook. But I want to eat the real food. And the Lord will give us the Spirit to lead you into all of the reality. That's why the Lord, in chapter 14, he says, I am the truth. For me, the truth is not biblical, doctrinal truth. For me, the truth is the living person of Christ, meaning to say he is the reality of all that the Bible is talking about. Not just that it's true, but he is the substance of what he wants. Tell me, John, show me the durian. I want to eat it and taste it. No, I don't have it, but you just believe me. Believe, okay. Even if I believe, so what? Can you smell it? Taste it? No. Peter says, taste and see, but I've nothing for you to taste. He will lead you into all reality. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will even tell you things to come. In verse 13, he will even tell you things to come. Do you know what things are coming? No. These are the things that are coming.
tell you things to come. It's not doctrine. But if you hear him telling you, you will know it's real. But if you just look at that, then, well, I'm not even sure that your doctrine is right. But if the Holy Spirit confirms it in you and teach you, yes, this is what it is, then you will know. Then it's not because somebody wrote it and printed, but it's because the Holy Spirit tells you of the things to come. This is the Spirit. God is Spirit. You want to worship Him? You must worship Him, firstly, in spirit. No spirit, no worship. I don't care how much you know the Bible. Sorry. I also know the Bible. But I'm not happy with the knowledge of the Bible. Even if my knowledge is right, so what? You can study economy, business in Harvard University. So what? Show me your bank account. That's it. No, show me your diploma. Show me your bank account. That's good enough. Right. We want the reality of Christ. The New Testament age is no longer the age of shadows and types, pointing to the Lord and explanation. You have to explain so much. No, once you have the reality, you don't need much explanation. No, because you have touched the real thing. And He will glorify me. Praise the Lord. Verse 14, the Spirit will not even, the Holy Spirit will not glorify Himself. Now, how many times people are just glorifying themselves? Brother, isn't it true? They want people to recognize them. They want to be glorified. They want to be exalted. They want to have a name there. They want to, everything for themselves. But the Holy Spirit will never do that. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to glorify Him. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. How wonderful. Men, we, pastors, and all these people, they will just take of what other people say and give it to you. Well, you might as well read them yourself. You want Darby's writing? You don't need me to teach you Darby's writing. Go to the internet and read Darby yourself. Can you read? Are you a good reader? Or are you a lazy reader? A good reader. Then read it yourself. Why do you need somebody to read it and then preach it to you? Huh? Can you read? What they got is also what they read. They did not receive it from Him and give it to you. They received it from some other sources and then give it to you. Well, why don't you go to the store yourself? Right? Why don't you do that? In everything, you do that. You're an engineer right now, right? So, what do? Do you have to ask your professor, call your professor? Professor will tell you, go read it yourself. You think the professor will be glorified when you call him professor every day, every week, every Sunday, professor, how about this, professor, how about that, professor, he said. Did you ever graduate? But the Holy Spirit will receive directly from the Lord many fresh and living things. Call upon me, he says in the Bible to Jeremiah, and I will show you great and marvelous things which you have not known. There are many things I don't know. I want to know. Now, who is going to teach me? Who knows? The Spirit. So, the Lord just didn't stay here, worship me in spirit and in truth. What, Lord, where am I going to get that? How am I going to know? And who is going to teach me? Who's going to teach you to be in spirit? Me? I cannot, I'm not in you. How often do you see me? Hardly, eh? Because I'm gone all the time. Right? How often do you see me here? Hardly. Every time I come back home, my children are there. When are you leaving again? I said, why, you want me to go? No, because I've not been here. So, what's a good thing about a teacher who is not there? You just said, no good. So, am I good? This is no good. No good. But the Holy Spirit is in you all the time. And He receives from the very direct source. From the Lord, from the Father Himself. And declare it to you. Don't you like that? Huh? That's wonderful. All the things that a father has are mine. Praise the Lord. There's a wonderful source. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Wow, what else do you want? Jimmy, what else do you want? Do you want to hire a Harvard grad or a theological seminary? What's that again?
Yeah. He will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me. It's so strange. Do you see him or do you not see him? A little while you see him physically. And a little while later, now you don't see him, yet you see him. So do you see him or do you not see him? Oh, the gospel is a wonderful gospel. It's a mysterious gospel. Do you see him or you don't see him? Is he there or is he not there? Oh, it's mysterious. How can you say that? A little while, you will not see me anymore. And again, a little while, you will see me because I go to the Father. That's even the stranger. More strange. What? You go to the Father. How can I see you? You must be here for me to see you. Then you're going to see me because I go to the Father. If I tell you, oh, you're going to see me because I'm going to the Far East. You say, oh, come on, John. How can I see you go to the Far East? You stay here, I see you. Right? And the Lord says, no, you see me because I go to the Father. Oh, dude, wait a minute, Lord. If you want me to see you, don't go. You stay here. How come you go to the Father and I'm going to see you? Because when he goes to the Father, he will send the Holy Spirit and you will see him. But not in the physical eyes anymore. Isn't that mysterious? This is the triune God. This is the mystery of the triune God. So that this wonderful God now can come into you and dwell there. It's up to you. If you're not in spirit, you cannot see him. But if you are in spirit, you can see him. Just like you see me. Except it's not in the physical realm. It is now in the spiritual realm. Now what is more real? Tell me. Physical realm or spiritual realm? Only if you are a person who learned to live by the Spirit. If not, you always need something physical that you can see and touch and hear. That's why they need people. But some disciples among themselves, they don't know what the Lord is talking about. Verse 17, some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he said to us? What is this? What is he talking about? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you see me because I go to the Father.
They said, therefore, what is this that he is saying a little while? We do not know what he is saying. I hope you know what we are. I hope you know what he is saying. They don't know. Because it's not a spiritual realm. If you're not in spirit, you don't know what the Lord is talking about. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, you will not see me, and again, a little while, you see me. Most assuredly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. And the world will rejoice, because they thought they got rid of Christ, right? On the cross. But you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy, because the Lord rose again the third day, and when they saw him, and then much more so the Lord as the Spirit enters into them. A woman, when she is in labor to bring forth a baby, right, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Wow. And I mean, do you still remember the labor you had as of three children? No. No, but you're so happy to see the children. Nice. Of course, these are three fleshly children, so you still have trouble. But the Lord brought forth that wonderful spiritual life. Now, after, you see, that's why I was telling you, when we are here in the remembering the Lord, you don't remember, oh Lord, you suffer so much, just like every time I see my daughter, oh, I remember you suffered so much, because once I was there in the hospital with you, when the first one was, whenever I see my daughter, I begin to weep. Oh, Naomi, I feel so sad for you. Even today, when I see you, I just weep. Naomi, I remember you. Oh, I remember how you suffered this. Oh,
is that the way you remember the Lord?
What we heard some people taught us to do that. No more. Rejoice. Because through the sufferings of the Lord, he brought forth something glorious and wonderful. Life. The Spirit is released. The water of life. The river of the water of life. Now the Spirit can be poured out. The day of Pentecost. Wow, what a wonderful time. So, may the Lord really open our eyes. We have to know what it meant to be in spirit. Time is up again. May the Lord have mercy on us. Amen.